This is the Big Web Show. It's actually episode number 57 of the Big Web Show. We are a little show here that features special guests and topics like web publishing, art direction, content strategy, typography, web technology, and more. It's everything web that matters. I'd like to say thanks to our two sponsors this week. It's HelpSpot.com and Rackspace.com. We'll tell you more about them as the show goes on. And bandwidth for this show is brought to you by Midas Green Tech, virtual private servers submerged in oil. Get free bandwidth today at MidasGreenTech.com/5x5. I'm here with the host of the show, Jeffrey Zeldman, is the inventor of electricity and the internet.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Dan.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm fine now.
You were having trouble before?
There's a little staticky sound that we kind of ferreted out.
Maybe ferrets do make that sound.
All marmots have their own characteristic noises. Faith described this one as the little hamster. So we found the hamster.
Oh, wow.
And exorcised the hamster.
Exorcised?
Exorcised. We didn't get him in shape. We removed him.
We removed him. This is good. And speaking of marmots,
could you please introduce today's guest?
Our guest today is one of the most brilliant people now working on the web. A person I certainly have been hoping to work with, just amazing contributor and very young. He works at Filament Group, where they work on stuff like
tungsten.
Is this where I chime in?
Yeah. That's a joke, right? No, that was a joke.
Do you work on tungsten? Do you use tungsten?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He's in the tungsten. Mobile. He's a jQuery team member in the mobile side. Well, I think you've done other stuff with jQuery, but now he's like focused on mobile. He's a speaker at events like Deconstruct and Mobilism in Amsterdam and Voices That Matter, the new Writers Conference. And Delve NYC and the jQuery conference and an event apart, I believe. He's the co-author of the book Designing with Web Standards. No, sorry. He's Designing with Progressive Enhancement, which is Designing with Web Standards in a kimono, basically.
Oh.
It's Designing with Web Standards in a satin dress with pumps. That's called So we're gonna have lots to talk to him. And one of the projects I know that he just worked on, which we haven't had a chance to talk about on the show yet, was the very exciting redesign of the Boston Globe, which I believe used fixed width and one column for all devices. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Safe 1280 wide width.
All right.
Yeah, because it looks good. It looks good on my 1280, and that's all I care about.
Yeah. It works for me.
So let's. Hi, Scott.
Hi. How you doing?
You sound like Dan. This is freaky.
Uh oh.
Dan, do you think he sounds like you? Speed it up.
He sounds like a younger, perhaps more metropolitan version of me.
Let's talk a little bit. Let's move up a little bit about your recent project on the Boston Globe. First of all, this was collaborative with another studio and with Ethan Marcotte and with the client, the Boston Globe itself. How did that work? What was the division of labor and how did the project come together?
Yeah, so the other partner on the other partner studio on the design side of things was a company called Upstatement in Boston. Tito, Mike, and Jared over there. They do great work. So they
band.
Yeah, Tito, Mike, and Jared.
from the 60s.
All right. I was going to say, I thought those were the three guys that sold the automobile parts.
There's a lot of rich humor we could mine. Someone funny could mine a lot of rich humor from this, but let's move on. So who put the deal together? Who put the package together? Did the newspaper reach out to two companies or how did that work?
So Upstatement was formed from a few former Globe staffers. So I think they were sort of on the project before we even came on. Okay. And
And their back end?
Actually, front end design. So they did all of the, you know, the design work, the comps. Yeah, yeah. So all the back end work was done in-house at the Globe.
The Globe did the back end, and Upstatement did the front end, but design. They did design, right?
Yes, yes.
How did you collaborate with them?
Well, they would typically give us, a comp for a page, usually in several breakpoints at a time, like four or five with breakpoints. So sort of rough ideas of how the site would appear and function at, you know, on different devices, really. And then we would do all the front end development work based on those. And, you know, it was really iterative. So we would end up sending back ideas to the design team. And, you know, we're a design shop as well at Filament. So we were doing a lot of design from the browser as well. And, you know, sure. Figuring things out, how it worked.
Whose idea was it?
The site?
To take a major newspaper with all the constraints that a newspaper site operates under, with all the requirements for, like, everything from, like, ad size to maybe standard photo size, standard ad size, and everything else, whose idea was it to take that and do a responsive design? Because as I've said, like, for someone to do that on their blog, that's really cool, but it's a different dimension of challenge when you're taking design that's in so many handcuffs already, like a newspaper site is, and right. Dancing in all those handcuffs, right?
Sure.
Where did that directive come from? We're doing it responsive, ladies and gentlemen. Who said that?
Well, I think they probably approached Upstatement with the task of making things work across a variety of devices. That was really the goal they set out to achieve with the site, okay. Responsive or not.
Right. So it could have been a back-end solution for them. It could have been a mobile site for them.
They had other goals in mind, you know, like making sure things were really easy to maintain and sustainable. By the time the project got to Filament Group, and there was probably a little, you know, thinking and planning before that point, they were already pretty gung-ho about, you know, we really want progressive enhancement and we really want to push the boundaries of, you know, making one front-end code base sort of adapt and act appropriately across a variety of devices. And yeah, they came to us with that challenge, which was great because that's what we were interested in at the time.
Where does Ethan Marcotte fit in, the father of responsive
design?
Yeah,
exactly, Ethan. So Ethan contracted under us. I think we brought him on as soon as we were contacted by the Globe about the job. And Ethan's local in Boston. So we'd always been huge fans, wanted to work with him. So this was a great opportunity.
How long did it take and how deep did it go? Because sometimes, in my experience, sometimes you'll get hired to do a redesign of a newspaper or something, but you end up only doing so many templates and there's always more that needs to get done that somehow, you know, they sure. Talk about maybe doing that in a subsequent.
Right.
Like, did you guys go all the way? I mean, was it like a colonoscopy? You went like all the way in?
Well, actually, I should probably, wow. I'm going to change the,
make a note of that
statement of what we do on the web.
Yeah.
So I should probably clarify, it's actually more of a fresh design than a redesign. Before this site, Boston Globe had a site called boston.com. They actually still do have it.
Right.
Which is confusing.
And they're going to keep that.
I think it'll become less and less confusing. But yeah, I agree. There's some.
That's going to be like the free site?
Exactly.
The ad-driven free site.
Yep. And I think they'll be teasing content from the Globe on there. Go ahead.
Whereas like the New York Times has one newspaper, but they, after a certain point, if you're not a subscriber, you can't see the content. They sort of put up a paywall. This is two separate URLs. One's a paywall site from the get-go and the other isn't.
Yeah, although I think Boston.com will be less and less mirrored content from the newspaper. I think they'll be doing sort of different things, lots of local events, you know, metro-focused news, things like that. And I think they'll also be teasing a lot of the content from the Globe to, you know, get people to come over and enjoy the new way to experience it.
It's hard to tease the news.
Yeah, right.
Who did we declare war on? Go to our pay site and find out.
Yeah, right. I guess, you know, abstracts. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to do it yet. So.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Do you feel that? Do you feel that the paywall? Do you wish the paywall wasn't there? As a practitioner who wants to show off their work, do you have a? Do you wish there was that the paywall wasn't there, or?
I'm not sure how, you know, I'm sort of conflicted about the paywall thing because I really appreciate a site that, you know, has less advertising and a focus on the content like this one does and a nice reading experience. Or at least that's what we set out to achieve.
Right.
So, you know, if it's not driven by ads, someone's got to pay for it. And so I guess I've sort of come to terms with that, with other sites recently, and I sort of feel the same way about this. I do think that there will be sort of exceptions so that you can get into templates. I think they said a number of articles are going to be free per month or week. So you'll still be able to, you know, obviously you'll be able to get to the homepage. And I'm not exactly sure of the whole breakdown of the paywall, but I think it'll be, you know, somewhat permeable. So, you know, we'll still be able to talk about the templates to an extent from a design perspective. So,
switching gears.
Yeah.
Why does your avatar look so much like Dan Rubin's avatar? What's that about?
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's kind of weird.
But you guys don't look alike. And you're both good-looking guys, but you don't look alike.
Settle down.
Well, it's Metro. He's Metro.
That's right.
Yeah, that's... good question. I don't know. You'd have to ask Varick Rossetti. He illustrated all those for Happy Webbies. So
that's what it is. So you're a happy. Yeah. When you became a Happy Webby guy, did you go, "Oh my, I've made it"? Or were you like, "I don't belong in this illustrious company"? Or were you just?
I'm not sure. I actually got the Happy Webby through a sort of it was like a contest where they
the popularity contest last year.
Yeah. Although I think it ended up being sort of not many votes, so they had to pick one sort of situation. But like, either way. No, this wasn't last year. This was a while back.
Oh, okay. Because they did that again last year with Dan. I remember Daniel Mall was in that.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Sort of. It was a big deal last year for them. Yeah. So
the one they did of me looks like Jacob Nielsen, I got to say. So, and it was rude. It had a horribly rude. It was like, "You're a dumbass," it said, you know, and... Which, if you know me, I'm like really not like that. But it's just like, I guess it's all in fun that they make you out to be a rude jerk.
It says it has a "you," like, and then inside of the it has "you" as if it was an HTML tag, YOU, as if it was an HTML tag. And then within that, or I guess it is a valid XML tag. You never know. It says "dumbass" in the middle of it.
Right. "Dumbass" and then "close dumbass." So like the joke is that it's XML, right?
Right.
I get that because... As everyone knows, when you think of XML, you think of me.
I think of you.
But the Jacob, it looks like Jacob Nielsen as a soft-boiled egg that got dropped on the ground. I mean, it's really like the most unflattering. I mean, I know I'm not a beauty queen, but Jesus, man, it just looked awful. I was like, then it was everywhere.
Well, they actually changed. They changed mine. They had something even way much, much worse under mine. And they changed it.
You were a pirate, I believe.
Really?
No. No?
Huh.
I don't know.
All right.
What they have you biting a thigh now, which I just think is weird.
Really? I'd have to refresh the page.
And it's your own thigh, so.
order another t-shirt.
There's nothing good about that. Okay, so I think it looks like an identikit. It's like a weird. Well, you know what it actually looks like? Remember those things with the.
Identikit.
And not Etch-a-Sketch. It looks like an identikit, but it also looks like there was that bald guy, and then you'd take these iron shavings with a little magnet and like give him a mustache
give him hair.
And all. It looks like they drew
like a little magnetic pen.
Yeah.
It looks like
whatever happened to those.
It looks like they drew that, and then they fatten it for me, and then they like other than that they squeeze it, and that's it. It's like fat or not fat, and like everyone's happy. Molly, you look like Molly too. I mean, I got to say, it's like Molly Holschlag and you and Dan Rubin don't look like each other, but in this you do. So I guess I'm being mean, and so I guess they're right. I am saying you dumbass, but not in XML in internet radio. So having established all that, let's talk about your book. Let's talk about your book and what else you might be writing. Designing with Progressive Enhancement.
Yeah.
You've read Aaron Gustafson's book, I assume.
I've read it. I actually just bought it a couple days ago from Aaron. So have not read it yet.
Are they okay? So you don't know if they're similar or do you know which?
Yeah, I guess I can't speak to that. I'd assume they were fairly similar subject matter. But.
In some ways. Certainly there's going to be some overlap because, I mean, you're both... Design with Progressive Enhancement is designing with web standards. I mean, it's the same thing in a way, right? But this is more of a detailed, I would imagine your book is a detailed, here's how, step-by-step, starting with markup, right? Start with content, mark it up semantically, use form, make it work no matter what, and then for the person who's got the futuristic browser or device,
enhance it further.
Projects are there? Projects are there? Like little build out projects in the book that you show?
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds cool.
I guess
that sounds cool. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah. I guess probably the second 2/3 of the book are pretty practical, hands on examples. So, how to build, XYZ sort of interactions with this sort of thinking. So breaking down the interaction, making sure it works, out of the box with just raw HTML, and then sort of layering on progressively behavior and presentation, and all the while just making sure you don't break anything, especially from a accessibility standpoint. I think that's something that's often easy to forget, but everything is sort of born accessible, and then we can easily just mess it all up. A big portion of that is, why RES spec, and actually James Craig was our technical editor. So we had a line into, the best ways to apply those attributes and things like
Cookie
that.
Rook. Right?
Yeah, Cookie Rook. Yep.
So who's your co-author? I missed that.
Co-authors are everybody at Filament Group. So Patty Tolan, Todd Parker, Maggie Walks, and myself.
So you did your company went to New Writers and said, hey, the 12 of us have a great idea for a book. How did that work?
I think they found us through our blog, our lab, we call it, where we were already writing quite a lot. I think they first wanted a book on jQuery, and we were sort of like, yeah, that would be kind of cool, but we'd also like to write one about this if you're interested. And they're like, yeah, we really want a progressive enhancement book. So
they're very flexible. They're good. I like those people. I like those.
Yeah,
they were my first publisher also. Yeah.
Yeah. It was great working with them.
Who was your, who was your acquisitions editor? Who found you?
It was Wendy Sharp.
Wendy Sharp.
Yeah. Yep.
She's left the business now.
Really?
Yeah.
Know that. That's a shame.
It's sad, too, because she's great.
Yeah.
She's going to do something else meaningful. I mean, something else meaningful. Like, I don't know. I've changed careers so many times myself that, like, I get it. But I just found that out. So when people buy, I notice you have a website for your book with downloadable code examples and all that stuff. I used to do that, and I'm so lazy now. It's sad. It's super cool that you do this.
I think it could use an update. We've probably released all the code from the book at this point.
Speaking of updates, we'd like to talk about our first sponsor's amazing new update, their HelpSpot.com. Yeah.
Very nicely done.
Big hand. Most hosted help desk solutions, they start at $49 a month per user. It seems reasonable, right? But that's $600 a year for a limited plan that you don't control. You don't control your data. Well, HelpSpot is a help desk application with an owned license model. You buy it once, you own it forever. A single user starts at $199, but that's once, and allows for unlimited tickets per agent. It's flexible. You download it, you run it yourself, you host it yourself, or you have it hosted. And there's never been a better time to get started. They just released this new version. It's twice as fast. It uses 50% less storage. And it provides a whole bunch of new tools for your team to work smarter and faster. You go to helpspot.com/5x5. And here's the thing. You're thinking, $199, I don't know if it is, you make excuses. They're giving $100 off. It's just $99 for a single user. If you listen to this program and you go to helpspot.com/5x5, shame on you if you do not check this out. This is an amazing deal. It won't last long. And it's great software. I've used this myself for years. Highly recommend it. Go check it out. Helpspot.com.
That was a great presentation. It sounds like an exciting offer, and it made me think about jQuery. So I hate to be like your publisher, but let's talk about jQuery and that. jQuery Mobile. What?
Me too, man.
For the one listener who doesn't know, what is jQuery?
jQuery is a JavaScript framework, sort of a utility framework for, scripting interactions on top of web pages and web applications, in a way that you sort of have one language that you can use to speak to all the browsers. So
you've written some, you guys have written some JavaScript.
Yes.
And like Ruby on Rails in a way. It's a pre-configured set of JavaScript stuff that does things, so you don't have to write them yourself.
Right. It sits on top of the DOM API and sort of smooths it out. Makes it easier to use.
Like a JavaScript might make CSS3 work in an old version of Internet Explorer, and by smoothing out how Internet Explorer understands CSS, in the same way jQuery looks at takes the W3C standard DOM and looks at the browser and says, here's some things you might want to do, and here's a library for how to do them.
Sure.
I just did that very badly. You could probably do that much better, but...
Yeah, well, one example, I guess, would be binding to events. So you could listen to events that occur, like click events and things like that. Little differences between how you would do that in certain browsers. So jQuery just sort of normalizes that, makes it easy to do in one way.
Which is good, because it's becoming... It's not a standard. I mean, ECMAScript is the standard, but jQuery seems like it's becoming it's vastly widely adopted.
It is very widely adopted.
Yeah. And you have your own conference now.
Yeah, that's been going on for a number of years, but it's been getting bigger and bigger. So I think it's biannual.
So the group does all this, or someone else does this and you just tie in with them?
Sorry, did you say Filament Group?
Yeah.
Oh no!
You do so much.
We're on the jQuery team, but the team is a lot larger. I mean, jQuery was started by John Rezig, and there's a core team, and there's a number of people that work on jQuery itself, and then there's separate teams like for jQuery Mobile. That's where Filament has been focused in the last year, anyway.
Do you imagine there will come a time when, can you see jQuery being presented as a standard to like a body like ECMA or the W3C, or would that be superfluous?
No, I think, I think John said it best, like the goal for jQuery is to eventually not be needed anymore. So it's sort of there to, smooth the gaps right now, but one day we won't need those particular gaps to be smoothed anymore, and there'll be a new framework that we need to adopt. So, I think if anything, it's just been pushing on browsers to implement things in a more standards way. And so it served that role, I think, from a standards perspective. really well.
What gets you up? Someone asked me this the other day, so I'm going to ask you. What gets you out of bed in the morning, like raring to go? What are you thinking about when you get up? What makes you excited about what you do?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess I enjoy most the problem solving aspects of what we do. So, you know, like the Globe was a great example of a huge challenge that had a lot of problems that just didn't really have solutions yet, and we had to sort of invent our way out of things. And I think that's where I'm most comfortable. I really like to, you know, think about things like that, think things through in using the patterns that we, you know, that we typically use with progressive enhancement. You know, so many angles to think about to solve a problem in that way. So I think it's really fun.
What would you like to work on that you haven't worked on yet, or who would you like to work with that you haven't been able to work with?
I'd love to work with you, Jeffrey. You mentioned it earlier.
I was going
to
say.
Oh, come on.
That's the right answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that is an answer we like.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah. What sort of project? I don't know. I think it would be fun to build some applications, like, you know, products. Mostly because I think there's this sort of mystery ground right now where in order to build apps, you need to sort of abandon a lot of the practices that we've come to use for a long time now. And I'm not really convinced that's the case so much as we just haven't figured out all the right ways to do it yet. So I don't know. I'd really like to work on a project like that where it's, you know, it comes off as, wow, this is, you know, this is a really rich app-like experience, but we're not, you know, sacrificing the other things we care about to get there.
Were you one of the signatories to futurefriend.ly?
Yeah, that was last week. There were, so we were at the Breaking Development Conference in Nashville.
What all the space helmets are about in your...
It is, yeah. That part just sort of, that was the serendipity of it. We just found that helmet. After the conference, a group of...
I'm sorry, what's the conference?
Us,
the Future 10 or something?
What's that it? Was Breaking Development Conference in Nashville.
Oh, BD. The BD
yeah,
one.
BDConf, yeah. Oh. Yeah, so after that, a small group of us rented out a cabin in the woods in Nashville area. Sorry?
Ding, 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 ding.
Ah, yes.
I saw this movie. It doesn't end well.
Yeah.
Well, what did y'all do with the cabin?
Yeah. Yeah, so we gathered out there and, you know, this was a number of people who connect online already, but don't get to meet in person all that often. We had a bunch of, I guess, mobile related questions to sort out amongst each other and sort of figure out what's the best way to move forward in a lot of ways. So that was what we came together to do. It was a fun week. And then the space helmet, that was just a kid's toy we found in the cabin. It sort of became like the icon for the week.
Fantastic. Yeah. You couldn't have found anything better. It's amazing.
Our second sponsor today is Rackspace. They've been sponsoring 5x5 for about a year now. And we get a lot of feedback from the people who use Rackspace and who said, hey, we tried it out, or thanks, or hey, I've been a customer and love to hear them advertising. And we thought it might be neat to read one of these testimonials. This one is from a gentleman by the name of Chris Gorman, who says, writes in, he says, Rackspace is awesome. They're the most reliable and helpful server company I've ever worked with. I use them for my first network administration position fresh out of college. I asked them all sorts of dumb questions, and they always helped me with a smile. My favorite part was when they would ask me my security question. I would always laugh out loud because his security question was shake, and the answer was bake. That's the kind of humor that the Rackspace customers have. But it is a great company, and you should go check this out. If you're building a website or application, you can go to rackspace.com/5x5. Find out about all kinds of special deals and promotions, and be sure to check out Rackspace Cloud while you're there. Let them know we sent you.
For listeners who don't know what I'm talking about, they could go to they could find you on Twitter and look at your avatar. Correct?
Yep. Yeah, they can.
Just be.
I think it's future. Oh, yeah. My Twitter account. Yeah. Scott Jell. That's J-E-H-L. Right. Yeah, and then the website we were just talking about is
futurefriend.ly. Futurefriend.ly.
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, I had no idea what it was. But now I like it.
All right. That's good.
I reread it. No, I came back. Right. You know what was funny to me? So, listeners, you should check this out later. It's got some really good articles, and it's talking about how tempting it is for all of us now to jump on proprietary solutions, just as we did in the past, like 10 years ago with the web. It's tempting to, now that we're in an age of apps, to jump into sandboxes. But maybe that's not the thing to do. And what it asks, which standards will hold up. It doesn't provide any answers. It provides a lot of data points that are very interesting at future. Friendly, but what was funny to me is that it's a one-column responsive design.
Yeah, just a couple media queries in there.
That killed me. I found a query .s. You know that site?
Which one?
Media queries with .es as right. So. But when you look at the screenshot, it's hilarious because it's...
Oh, I didn't realize it was on there. Okay. Right? Yeah.
Because normally when things of responsive design, it's like, oh my God, it becomes three columns now. And oh, this little picture becomes big and all that. Next time we have you on, it would be great to talk about optimizing, sort of taking a mobile first point of view toward responsive design and optimizing the experience so that someone on the edge network or on... intermittent 3G still has a great experience, right? Because I'm sure, and I would think that's a lot of, but today we were doing an overview of you and your career, Apache, poor overview. I must apologize for if we didn't, there are important things we didn't get to, but we'd love to have you back and talk about that, you know, talk about that kind of thing, creating optimal experiences, no matter what bandwidth the user has.
I'd be happy to join you again. That'd be great.
Yay.
So what's the best challenges on that site?
You're on Twitter. Where can people go to find out about you?
Yeah, on Twitter. It's just my name, Scott Jell. That's
Jell, not Jail. I'm so sorry. I've been calling you Jail all this time. That wasn't a joke. I'm sorry. See, we met and everything, but I just thought your name was Jail. J-E-L.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that a lot. Jail. Yeah, it's okay.
It's Jell. It's Jell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Press
that's Jell. It. Like the hair product, although I'd prefer not.
Your Metro. Okay. So you're also at scottjell.com?
Yes. Yeah. And filamentgroup.com. And jQueryMobile.com.
Why does Filament Group load even though it's an HTML site? What's the deal with that?
So that site is built on sort of a... I guess it was being built while the whole responsive design thing was coming out. But essentially it is one front-end code base that adapts. Just it's more of an adaptive layout, I guess you would say.
Sure.
Nothing wrong with that. It has two versions. And it sort of detects the screen width and toggles the style sheet essentially. So that's what's going on up front. It's a little waiting, but I think we're in the midst of a redesign. So who knows how long that'll be there.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's okay. We're all of us are in the midst of a redesign, I would say.
Yeah.
If you're not in the midst of a redesign, I'm not sure what you're doing on the web.
Perpetual redesign.
Yeah.
Refresh. You have a spelling error. A refresh.
Call it the web. You have a spelling error on your website. It says Avitar drawn by H Webbies.
Ooh.
When you mouse over the hover text.
Ooh. Nice catch.
That's okay. That's what I do.
Yep, you're right. Failure.
You know what? That movie would have been so much better if it was Avatar.
Yeah, why didn't they think of that? I'm going to trademark this.
That's what it was missing. I'm sorry, because I know on this network they usually talk about Star Wars, but I had to just... Well, thank you, Scott. Dan, is there something you need to...
Any housekeeping? Well, we said his Twitter address, and is there anywhere else people can go? I mean, what are the if they want to you on Facebook? You have other sites that we should know about? Anything else you want to pimp?
Well, I'm not on Facebook.
Okay. No shame in that.
Let's see. I think I gave
you are on Flickr. You are on Flickr.
I am on Flickr. Yeah.
And you're moving.
Oh,
you're
I know. GitHub.
GitHub. Very good.
Yeah, definitely GitHub. Got a number of projects on there that...
same name. You run with the same name everywhere.
GitHub.com/ScottGel.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Yeah, you'll find some responsive design-oriented JavaScript solutions and such on there.
Fast and lightweight polyfill for min-max width with CSS Media 3 queries for IE 6 to 8 and more.
There you go. That's a
mouthful. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, that's what's driving the globe in Internet Explorer.
So you can go to 5by5.tv/bigwebshow and hear previous episodes of this show. And that's about it. So thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Well, I'll be back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Be back next week.